Okay, well, I'm certainly not going to go over my time limit with my former boss sitting next to me. I know she won't hesitate to cut me off. At any rate, as you can probably guess from my title, my job at Freedom House is actually to design and run programs and activities that we think will further the democratic process in countries around the world which haven't yet attained the status that we at Freedom House like to call fully free in our annual rankings of civil and political liberties. As such, I think it's clear that the work of democracy building groups like Freedom House, like NED, IRI, NDI, and others actually do contribute in some way and make somewhat of a difference. It is not, however, to say that the individual or even combined efforts of these organizations have or ever will manufacture revolutions. The work of our organizations is very much that of a facilitator. We bring ideas, we bring values, and we bring relatively limited resources to bear in the form of exchanges and trainings and sometimes grants to groups and institutions around the world that already exist and that must themselves find the solutions to their problems, often at tremendous risk. In the 9 months leading up to this first round of elections in Ukraine, Freedom House, along with its partners on our election project, NDI and IRI, supported a range of completely nonpartisan civic education, mobilization, and domestic monitoring efforts. In addition, working with the European Network of Election Monitoring Organizations, we helped facilitate a 1,000-member non-governmental international monitoring mission comprised of skilled observers from both Eastern Europe and then the majority actually from former Soviet countries. I think that this group, along with the domestic groups, was very critical in pointing out the fraud and violations that did occur, and we are now working to remobilize a mission of 1,000 observers to come in on December 26. Yet while these efforts may in fact seem quite substantial, I cannot help but ask how in a country of nearly 50 million people, these types of efforts can stack up to the level of resistance and resources that are brought to bear against such activities by the major power holders in a country like Ukraine, not to mention those in Russia, unless the desire to attain greater freedoms runs so deep among the majority of the country's population. As we've heard a couple of times, and on this point I completely agree, what has taken place in Ukraine is by no means anything that's been imposed by the West. It is simply the expression of the Ukrainian people that they deserve real democracy, not just the facade of managed democracy that has existed until now. A couple of weeks ago, Anne Applebaum wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post that I thought was quite eloquent, and she stated, if the ideas that Americans and Europeans promoted had greater traction in Ukraine than those of President Putin, that says more about Ukraine than it says about the United States. And to believe otherwise is, if you think about it, deeply offensive to Ukrainians. So what exactly was done by Ukrainian civil society in the past six months to contribute to this yet unfinished orange revolution? Ina, I think, has done a fabulous job of laying out quite a bit. I'll add to that. First and foremost, I think that the civil society generated hope, even more than hope. They generated an expectation among the population that the upcoming election would present a genuine opportunity for them to determine the course of their country. How did they do this? Well, they did it, as Ina laid out, through extensive voter mobilization campaigns that targeted different sectors of society who often don't vote, particularly youth, particularly people living in rural regions. They did it through extensive voter education efforts that provided voters with nonpartisan and independent information on candidates and their platforms. Again, this was critical because the media wasn't playing that key role. They also educated voters on how to vote and how to make sure that their vote was going to be counted by educating voters on potential violations. They did all of this through highly innovative homegrown activities that ranged from straightforward newspaper inserts and radio spots to creative posters and printed materials to live street performances, festivals, competitions, music concerts, internet competitions, you name it. Secondly, I think civil society provided the population with a degree of confidence that the election would in fact remain competitive and that any attempts to make it uncompetitive would be exposed. They did this, again, as Ida said, by monitoring the media for unfair, biased, and one-sided coverage. That was quite a job. They did this by monitoring campaign financing. They did this by conducting opinion polls, which were very critical, not only leading up to the election, but also exit polls on the day of the election itself. And they did this by organizing and training over 10,000 domestic election monitors who coordinated their efforts with international election monitors to both prevent fraud from happening and to report on it when it in fact did. Finally, in the event that none of the aforementioned efforts were going to result in the genuine will of the people being expressed, they did this by mobilizing the population to engage in massive, coordinated, and completely nonviolent forms of protest. It's quite true, has been accused by some, that these types of efforts have in fact been done in other countries like Slovakia and Serbia and Georgia, and that the advice and expertise of civic activists from these countries was brought into bear and shared with the Ukrainians. It's also true that many of these activities were funded by international organizations and groups like Freedom House and NED and IRI. But it's also true that these types of activities, with the exception of the post-election demonstrations, have been done, in fact, before in Ukraine. And despite all of the advice of outsiders, every single activity, every piece of literature, every slogan was developed by Ukrainians. It was spread throughout the country by Ukrainians, largely by young people who, as Ina mentioned, volunteered on a massive scale their time and their energy and their creativity to work with NGOs and NGO coalitions such as NAYU and PARA, Freedom of Choice Coalition, Committee of Voters of Ukraine, as well as student organizations throughout the country. Perhaps most importantly, it's true that the kind of efforts that civic groups engaged in to mobilize and educate the Ukrainian population, as well as to oversee and help ensure the fairness of the election, these are efforts that should be a normal part of any democratic election process. The fact that these activities are seen as subversive or as Western interventions, I think, says a great deal about those who currently hold the reins of power, and not coincidentally, some of those in Russia. The Orange Revolution is by no means over. It remains to be seen whether the repeat of the second round will result in the real choice of the Ukrainian people, or whether further manipulations will plunge the country into crisis. It's clear that the civil society has its work cut out for it, and we hope that it will be as successful in this round as it has been during the first two, as well as in bringing the country back together afterwards. Thank you.